Tired of feeling defeated? Join us for a transformative journey through the book of John, where we unravel some easily accessible truths from the Bible that will empower you to navigate your spiritual path and embrace a hopeful perspective for the upcoming year. Welcome to the world's biggest small group 7-day reset, where we are trying to start our year with 7 days in the book of John. My name is Pastor Chad. I am the director of ministry for Hope Media Group. And today I am joined with my friend, Kim Weir.
Hi, so glad to be here. Yeah, I'm Kim Weir. I'm a content creator here at World's Biggest Small Group, Bible study writer, and the author of Everyday God. And we're so, Chad, this is a great opportunity, not just to help other people. I'm excited to start the reset for myself personally.
This has been incredible jumping into John. And listen, you're on day one of this, and Kim and I, obviously, we've done a little extra work and we've worked through all 7 days. Yeah. And we're ready to talk about it. But I'm telling you, having done this reading for the 7 chapters has already changed my life. So we're ready to jump in. Hopefully you've listened to The On-Ramp, which is a Bible reading podcast, which helps you to read through the New Testament in a year. Yeah. And we have deliberately started this year in the book of John so that you could start right in digging into Jesus this year. So as you listen to The On-Ramp, the goal is that you will listen to the chapter of John, which today is John 1. You listen to that, and then Kim and I are going to spend about 5 minutes just kind of working through the book of John, and we've taken on a specific way of reading through it, and it's real easy. Think of on-ramp, and we want to see you use a ramp to get on, so we've used the word ramp to help us to work our way through the scripture. So the word ramp, we've taken the first letter, R, and it stands for read. Now, hopefully you've done that, you've listened, you've read it, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. The second letter of ramp is apply, that we're going to ask ourselves, how does this apply to God and how does this apply to us? Then the third letter is the letter M, and in the word meditate. We want you to spend some time just meditating, asking God how he wants to use this scripture to change your life. And then the last letter is the letter P, which is for the word pray. And we're going to just spend some time in prayer, talking to God and making it hopefully not as scary. So this is just a wholehearted, well-rounded way for you to spend your first couple days of the year jumping into scripture and hopefully seeing it applied and changing your life. So Kim, let's jump into the scripture now. We are in John 1, and the first word is read. And we want to ask ourselves, what did I just read? Like, what's going on in the text here? So I'm going to let you jump in first and just maybe share some highlights of what you noticed in the text.
So I love that the book of John is just so unique, right? I mean, there are 4 gospels that tell the life of Jesus, but 3 of them are really similar, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And John is this really unique book, which is why it's so great to start the year off with the book of John, because it gives us a picture of Jesus from a different angle than the other 3 books. And I think we get that from the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And I think the first thing that stands out to me when I read that, and maybe you as well as you're listening to this, is that it sure does sound familiar in the beginning. And it throws us all the way back to the very first book of the Bible. Even people who aren't Bible scholars or aren't very familiar know that phrase. In the beginning, God created. And here John has, in the beginning was the Word. And so one of the first things that stands out to me, Chad, is just this, wait, this guy wants me to really connect. Yeah. To the creation. There's some big connection that I'm supposed to make right here at the beginning. And that's kind of exciting because it goes, okay, what's next? What do I want to see? And so I love that John starts there and that he makes the big point. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. That is so awe-inspiring when I think about who God is. So Chad, one of the first things that really struck me and it stayed with me as I read all of chapter 1, is that Jesus was there when creation began. He was that creative force. He wasn't just the baby in the manger. We just finished Christmas, right? And we all like to think of that. And then we forget that not only was he not the baby just in the manger, but he lived a life. He went to the cross, but there was a time before that. In the beginning, he was the creator. And it gives me this big scope so that I don't forget who I'm approaching. and what he has done for me as the creator of the universe.
I love that, Kim. I noticed the same thing. In fact, it forced me to go back and reread Genesis 1. And when I did, another theme that I picked up on is not just the creation, but also in the midst of John 1, he talks about Jesus being the light yeah. shining in the darkness. And we saw that in the creation account, right? Like God separates the darkness from the light and he shines light in there. And here's the neat thing. I'm kind of going to kind of bump ahead a little bit because we're going to see that idea of light. We're going to see that show up again throughout the next couple chapters of John. And that's what I want to encourage people to. As we read these things, we're going to talk about things that we're going to see again and again. And I love that about John, the way he writes this gospel account, because like you said, Kim, this isn't a perfect chronological story that we get. He doesn't start out necessarily with Jesus in the manger. He just starts out with Jesus. And we see that in his power that he just displays all over the page, him being there in the creation, him being the light. And then I think the second, I don't know if you picked this up at all, Kim, but I started to notice the fact that he is talking a lot about John the Baptist right from the beginning. And he does that in this first chapter. And he says that John came to tell us about the light that was coming. So here again, our themes of light and John the Baptist. Yeah. John himself wasn't the light, but he was a witness to the light. And then he goes on throughout the rest of chapter one saying, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking to you about. Someone is coming after me who is greater than I. And so we get these themes that there was a prophet named John. You could call him John the Baptist. And we find him in some of the other gospels too, because we see that John's actually Jesus' cousin and that he is the son of Elizabeth who Mary visits while she's still pregnant. We find John throughout the other gospels, but here we find him as the prophet who is declaring that Jesus is this chosen one. He is the Messiah. And we see these incredible themes of Jesus' power in the midst of the text. Did you pick up on some of those themes too, Kim?
Yeah. So, and the whole idea of the read, and I think that's what's so great is you want to look at this chapter as a whole. Like, what all do you get? Remembering that the chapters and the verses are put on later, right? This is just one testimony from John, all written out on a scroll. But to be able to look at it in these chunks gives us, I think, those bookends. It helps our brain have a start and a stop point. And these are such big concepts. I think our brain needs that, right? We need some parameters in order to think about things that are just so infinite. But it goes on after talking about John, we get to see John declaring who the Messiah is. And then we get in this same chapter, Jesus calling his first followers. We get to see the response of the first people who get this announcement, this pronouncement from John. First of all, we get John pronouncing it, John the writer pronouncing it for us that this is the word become flesh, you know, who was in the beginning. Then we get John the Baptist, a different John, saying, make way, here he is. I'm presenting him to you in the world. And then we get the first response to both of those. And to me, that was what was so personally impactful. As I read through all of it, I kind of moved into that, gosh, what do I see here? Well, first I see he is God. That's the point he's trying to make. Jesus is not just some great man or some good teacher or somebody made by God. He is God. And then we see that response to him. What's the only response? Follow me. What does Jesus say the response to that is? Follow me. And that to me was personal. If Jesus is God, how can I have any other response but to drop what I'm doing and just follow him, to make him the focus of my life? To see these first disciples do that, it's just such a reminder that it's still the call. He's still saying, Kim, follow me. That was really significant for me.
I, as you were talking, we had talked about this before we started the video, even today, that we're going to blur the lines a little bit. When you talk about an acronym, read, apply, meditate, pray, you kind of start blurring the lines a little. And you probably even did that a little bit where we're talking about what we read, but it moves into the apply part of what does this mean to me? And I really felt that same thing go on as I was reading the text here too, because you look in here and you see that this isn't just a story about Jesus. John, when he writes this, does something really incredible that as he writes the story, he brings us into that as well. Like you were saying, Kim, and I noticed in verse 12 where he says, but to all who believe in him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. And I thought, he's talking about me. If I believe and accept Jesus, he's talking about me. Like, I'm drawn into the story. And so I love that piece of the story where he begins to draw us in. But we do want to move on, not only just talking about what we read, but we do want to move into that apply section of how does this apply to God, or what is it saying to us about God? And one thing that John chapter 1 does so perfectly is it teaches us so many names for God. Now, if you didn't notice this, I just encourage you to go back and look through the scripture and just kind of circle or think on all the times that it mentions a name of God. And I just wrote some down. Names of God are that he is the Word. That's what it starts out with in verse 1. Another name for God is that he's the light, the Lamb of God, the chosen one of God. He's called Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel, Son of Man, Messiah, the Christ. Those are all the words that it just says right there. And if we take them apart, we could go into a deeper study just examining what does the word logos mean, the Greek word for word. And even in the English Bible that you have or you listen to, it's just telling you these great truths about God, that he is the Word, the light, the Lamb of God.
Here's what's so beautiful about this. And I think this is where I'm more focused as we go through this. So I love that we're going at it from two different directions. Is I'm looking and I'm going, what's one thing that I want to hold on to today? What's one truth that is seems to be rising to the surface for me? And then just talking with God about that and thinking about how does this reveal more about God to me in this one thing? What do I know now about God as I think about this that I didn't know before? And then I can think about, well, how do I react to that? So for me, the one thing that really stood out in here is that he is the Son of God. That's the one I really focused on. That idea of his authority and his power and his ability, the reason we should be following him. So for those who love and who have a lot of time to spend and dig, I think being able to dig out and say, let me make a list of all of those names. And, but for the one who says, you know what? I want to focus on one thing. That is the power of God's word. So much will come either direction. And so, I love that there are different ways to come at this. And either one of them, if our focus is, as you mentioned, Chad, like, let me ask myself, what do I know? What does this teach me about who God is? What does this reveal about God, through his son, Jesus? That's such a great starting point as you meditate.
We have a good friend, Tara Lee Cobble. She has these things that she calls the God shot of, like, just can you in one sentence or two sentences, like, tell me who God is from this one reading of scripture. And it, like you said, Kim, sometimes it's just making God very simple. And at the same time, there are people who are reading this who are maybe saying, man, I struggle reading the Bible because it's so boring. And I would just encourage you, like, just take a little bit more time. Like Kim said, whether you're the person who only has a little bit of time and you need something simple, or if you're saying the Bible's boring, maybe you're not taking enough time and you're going to dig in, and you could start listing like I did. In fact, I have notes here of things that we don't even have time to talk about today of asking, like, what are the attributes of God? Like, what is he like? Well, I could learn from John 1. He, like Kim mentioned, he existed before the creation. Like, that's an incredible truth. And that's what we want to do as we move into maybe that third part of the acronym, is the idea of meditate. How do I meditate on God's word? And maybe this becomes a little difficult, but here's one thought that I've had as I've been working in ministry, is that there are so many things that are noisy around us, so many things that are fighting for our attention. Could we give just a minute before we even move to prayer? Can we just sit in this scripture for a minute and maybe just think about what we just read about? Set a timer on your phone for 2 minutes. You'll think 2 minutes is a long time when you just sit and have no noise. Why? Because we're so used to scrolling. We're so used to things hitting us all the time that we have to be busy. But can we just sit and meditate on God's word for just a few minutes?
Well, I was saying, then let's segue to that last segment. Yeah. Our 5 minutes has turned into 15, but that's the beauty of God's word, right? You get into it and it just gets great to explore. And I would say, even if you have somebody to talk about these things with, what a great way that would be to unpack this with somebody in your house or a friend who's also maybe doing the 7-day reset. But let's talk about the prayer aspect, because when we say the word pray, I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Chad, I'm not a good prayer. I'm not a good prayer, not prayer, prayer. And there's no such thing, because prayer is talking to God. And God is in the equation and he's good at communicating. And so part of prayer is listening, and part of listening is the word of God. And so we've done part of that now, right? As you're reading the word of God, if you're doing it with a mind that you're asking God as you're reading, God, what does this mean? Oh, God, I didn't know that. God, can you make this clear? As you're having that conversation as you read, then it's a natural segue then to that thing we call prayer, which is just more conversation with God. So when we think about prayer, specifically in relation to each of these segments that we're reading in the reset days, the question would be, in light of everything you've read, everything you've discovered, and the things that you've thought about, that's the read, apply, and meditate, what kinds of things do you want to talk to God about? What questions do you have? What did it stir up? What curiosity are you interested in? What confession do you want to make to him? What admission do you want to make? What request do you want to make of God in light of these things? And so you've been listening. His word is part of listening. You also want to specifically talk to God. You heard his heart. Now share your heart, but then you listen more as you pray.
We're going to do this over the next couple days as we continue to work through this. Also, there's other resources in the World's Biggest Small Group. We do have a prayer World's Biggest Small Group that you could take time to work through.
But where you are right now is a great place to start. One day at a time, a few minutes in God's word, 7 days, reset your pattern. We're so glad you joined us for John 1.
Don't miss out on more opportunities like this to rekindle your faith and find inspiration in the World's Biggest Small Group's latest study. Text the word GROW, G-R-O-W, to 67101 to find out more.